Join the conversation.
You're with Kate Talk.
Now, one of the recurring themes we've encountered over the past year has been the struggle that animal welfare organisations are facing in the current economy. People's changed financial circumstances have led to several things, including a rise in the number of pets being abandoned and a drop in the amount of public donor funding coming into such organisations. Some of them have not survived. Others are still living hand to mouth from week to week, not knowing what the future holds. But the one thing that hasn't changed at all is the commitment of the people who work in these teams to caring for vulnerable animals. And knowing that the festive season is always a time of added pressure for these teams, we thought we'd spend some time today with the new head of communications and fundraising for the Cape of Good Hope SPCA. Talk to us a little bit about some of the challenges they're facing, remind us of some of the key elements of animal care over the summer holidays, and tackle any questions you might have. You're welcome to call in on 021 446 0567, or send a voice note through to 072-567-1567. It's a great pleasure to welcome Marisol Gutierrez to the show. For the first time, Marisol, but I'm sure not the last time. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Papa. Thanks for having me.
It's a great, great pleasure. Before we dive into the topic itself, you are new to our listeners as well. Won't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and what's brought you into this new role?
Well, it's not so new for me, actually. I've really had a love affair with animals most of my life, yep. Starting from a very young age, and I've been very, very fortunate indeed to work with many fantastic organizations during the course of my career, including the Durban SPCA, okay. HSI, and a UN agency as well, although that wasn't really for animals, it was for children. Okay. So I've also volunteered for a big cat sanctuary where I helped them pro bono with their communications and fundraising work, and have worked with various grassroots and community-led organizations that are trying to help animals and people. So I've tried to live my passion, and I've been very lucky to end up at the Cape of Good Hope SPCA, which does fantastic work, as you know, and is the oldest SPCA in the country.
Well, it sounds like they're very lucky to have you, Marisol, as are all the animals who will be relying on your work. Now, before we talk about the broader issue of caring for animals over the holiday season, I think it would be remiss of me not to ask you for an update on the big animal story that's been making headlines for the last month or so, this tragic situation regarding pit bulls. Marisol, I've been away for a couple of weeks. Before I left, there were several things happening. There had been stories of tragic dog attacks on people, including fatal ones. There'd also been stories of truly awful attacks on the dogs themselves. And at the time I left, we were hearing stories of pit bulls being surrendered in big numbers. Give us an update. What has happened in the last week or so?
Yeah, you know, this is really probably one of the most tragic stories of this year, and it's sad indeed that we end the year on this note. So, yeah. As we all know, there have been terrible attacks on people over the past year by pit bulls, and we in no way condone that. This is a good thing. We think that every case is unique. Of course, we don't think it's fair to blame the entire breed. Or to reclassify the animal as a wild animal. I think that's completely ridiculous. But what we are asking for, and there seems to be a little bit of confusion actually with the public. Some members of the public seem to think that the SPCA supports a ban on the pit bull. We certainly do not support a ban, but what we do support is stronger regulations for power breeds, of which the pit bull is only one. You know, there are other large breeds that can also inflict very, very serious damage and harm on people and other animals if they're in the wrong hands or left unsupervised and haven't been socialized properly. Yeah. So what we are calling for is responsible ownership, compulsory sterilization, possibly a permitting system. We don't know what government is going to agree to or not. Mm-hmm. We know that petition that has been running has enjoyed the support of over 100,000 people. But I would venture to say that there are just as many people who don't agree with a ban on the animal, and certainly not a reclassification as a wild animal. That is just crazy.
Sounds absurd.
For a dog to be reclassified as a wild animal is just ludicrous.
Yeah. Marisol, one thing that I know has happened is that people who currently own pit bulls in some cases have been made to feel either so nervous themselves that they don't want them in their home anymore, or in some cases have faced enormous pressure from neighbours and family members to get rid of those dogs. I recall hearing an interview with the Bloemfontein SPCA saying they had had record numbers of pit bulls being surrendered to them. Has the same thing happened here in Cape Town?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes, very much so. And it's really sad, Papa. You know, we've had so many people, in fact, on a daily basis, phoning us and saying, look, we love our dog. He's done nothing wrong. He's not aggressive. We have children. They get on with the dog. We've had no hassles. But we are scared for our safety and especially for the dog's safety. Some have had threats from neighbors and from community members saying, you've got a pit bull. We don't want those animals in our neighborhood. Get rid of it. Otherwise, something's going to happen. Oh. So they've been afraid for their animal safety and even for their own safety. You know, I think what has happened over the past couple of months is these animals have been demonized to the extent where fear has reached fever pitch in some communities. And any dog that even looks like a pit bull is regarded in a very bad light, which of course is not fair on all dogs. So what we've had is these families phoning and saying, look, we need to give this dog up because we don't want this dog to end up being stoned or burnt or stolen or even end up in the wrong hands. So yes, unfortunately, we have had many pit bulls handed in, but not only pit bulls. We've also had lots of other dogs handed in at the same time. I think people generally are really getting scared of keeping dogs that may attack other people or even other dogs.
You know, I want to respond by saying, Marisol, any breed of dog may attack in certain circumstances if it's provoked, if it hasn't been properly socialized, etc. There's so many conditions in which this can happen. You always need to be aware of that as a pet owner with any breed of dog. I say that as 100%. Someone who had an English bulldog in the time that my children were babies. And, you know, she was as gentle as a puff of cotton wool. And I had people coming into my house saying, how can you have a dog like that near your children? You know, and the answer is you've got to be mindful. You've got to teach your children to behave accordingly. You've got to train the dog and socialize the dog. That is part of the deal of being a responsible dog owner. Do you think perhaps if we can look for one good thing in this terrible story, it is this mindfulness that is emerging, that it's not just a case of we want a pet, let's grab whatever dog is the flavor of the month, that there is a huge obligation on the owner's shoulders?
Yes, very much so. And I think, you know, what nobody's really speaking about, which I find a bit odd, is why people feel they need these big dogs and these strong, aggressive dogs. More often than not, people get these dogs because they're worried about crime or they're worried about their own security. So if you have your dog contained in your own garden, in a fully fenced and secure property, that's great. And as you say, as long as you socialize your dog well from puppyhood, you take them for dog training, have them sterilized, ensure that they have all their vaccinations and they have behavior training if necessary. I don't think you can fault an owner for that. Unfortunately, I think what does happen, especially with very popular breeds, is that these animals get into the wrong hands. They end up with backyard breeders who will then breed irresponsibly, sell the puppies to anyone, really, not just to the highest bidder. Yeah. And, of course, very often these animals end up with people who really have no clue how to care for and how to raise responsibly these power breeds, which are different to raising a mixed breed dog or a smaller dog, for instance, purely by virtue of the fact that they are bigger and stronger and can inflict a lot more harm than a smaller dog. So you really need to know what you're doing if you have a big dog or any power breed.
Yeah. Just for those who might have joined us late to the conversation, my guest on the line is Marisol Gutierrez, who has taken over the portfolio of communications manager for the SPCA, the Cape of Good Hope SPCA, that is, talking to us currently about the pit bull situation. But we're also going to have a bit of a chat about animal care over the festive season. And if you've got any questions with that regard, you're welcome to call in on 021-446-0567. Interestingly, a runner, Marisol, just WhatsApping to say it is the same with other dogs as well. If not trained, A less walked dog tends to go wild when left in the open. I'm a road runner in Parklands North, and there have been several occasions where dogs have charged at me. Really making the point there, it's not only pit bulls that one needs to socialise properly, train properly, contain responsibly. It's every kind of dog that needs to be properly managed. Marisol, part of proper management of any dog or any other animal for that point is making sure that they're well taken care of over the holiday season. A lot of people are going to be away from home. Some of them might be lucky enough to be travelling with their pets, but a great many of us leave dogs and cats behind with house sitters or put them into kennels. And I know that you guys see the consequences of animals for whom insufficient plans have been made. Anything you'd like to share with our listeners, particularly with the festive season in mind?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for bringing that up, Pippa. You know, the best thing that anyone can do, wherever possible, is to book a dog or a cat into reputable kennels or a cattery. And I think that gives us all fantastic peace of mind. Alternatively, if that's not possible, get a house sitter, somebody you really trust, to actually stay with the animals. I must caution people against just asking a neighbor or a friend to pop in occasionally. I think we need to remember that dogs and cats are sentient beings. They pine for their owners. They get lonely. They can also get destructive if they're left alone. Ask the person who comes home to an eaten couch. So it's really important to ensure that they have a lot of company. It's not enough to just feed them and you know, check in, make sure that they're still okay. Accidents happen, animals go missing, they end up at the SPCA. If they're lucky, they end up at the SPCA, actually. Yeah. Some are never seen again. And heaven only knows where those animals end up after they've gone astray. So first option, animal goes into a kennel or a cattery. That's definitely the safest option. Second option is somebody you know and trust living with your pet, or actually boarding at somebody else's house, a family member's house, if they're known to the family. And I think last option is getting a house sitter who's not known to animals to come in. And then again, you take a chance with a house sitter. You really need to check them out. Check out their references, do a proper check on their background, speak to people who have enlisted their services before. Because as we may all remember, there have been some really horrific cruelty incidences with house sitters in the past, and you definitely don't want to have that.
Thank you very much for that reminder, Marisol. Before we let you go, we have a listener who's given us a call with a question for you, I believe. Peter, good afternoon.
Hi, Pippa. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My mouse bird, which is a rescue, went missing 2 weeks back. And I'd just like to ask your guest if she has any advice or tips that she could give for searching for such a type of pet. It's not, you know, your dog or cat. We've just been looking around, trying everything. I just want to know if she had any advice to give.
Peter, I think I've seen your posters around the neighbourhood searching for this bird. I know you are really, really close and closely bonded to this particular bird. And Marisol, a really difficult one. You know, a dog or a cat somebody might spot on the street might be able to rescue, but a bird can fly absolutely anywhere. Have you got any advice for Peter?
Yes, I think, you know, you'd be surprised to hear that we don't only get stray dogs and cats here. I mean, we get stray sheep, rabbits, chickens, you name it. So, Peter, I would suggest that you do check with the SPCA as well. Don't leave us off your list. Keep checking with us. Lodge a report online. We do have a section on our website which enables people to lodge a lost report if they've lost a pet. And let's hold thumbs that your bird is found. And just don't give up hope. That's all I can say. Miracles do happen.
Peter, have you, as a matter of interest, tried the SPCA?
I did. I have, I didn't log an online missing report, but I did phone someone at the SPCA, and they were very helpful, and they took my number down and the description of the bird.
Peter, I mean, what else have you tried so far? I mean, where do you even start looking for a missing bird?
Look, he's a very tame bird. I found him as a fledgling, and, you know, he just We took him in, and next thing he was like, this is home for us. And we've had him for the past 2 years, and he has gone missing before. Because I like to let him out, you know. He is a wild bird. But he's very tame as well. The last time he went missing, he went down to children begging for food. Yeah. So we tried everything. I've searched for a whole week, all the neighborhoods, put up posters, social media, just trying to, explore every avenue. There's a lot of pets, you know, while on this quest trying to find my mouse bird, I've just realized there's a lot of pets missing. Oh. It's quite scary, yeah.
Peter, I really, really hope that your bird does turn up. As Marisol said, miracles can happen. And sometimes we've heard those incredible stories of animals that found their way home weeks or even months later. I really, really hope that will be the outcome in this case.
Thank you very much.
Peter, good luck to you. Thanks for calling in. And Marisol, thank you for the little word of reassurance there, not to give up hope. It's 2 weeks, and maybe we can say only 2 weeks. Let's hope that the missing mouse bird comes home before Christmas, Peter. We'll be thinking of you. If you do find him, please let us know, by the way. Please just drop me an email or give us a call to let us know. Marisol, thank you so much for your time today. I know it's a very, very busy couple of weeks ahead that you would like to obviously get behind you without too much incident. Thanks for the important reminders you've shared with our listeners, and best wishes to you and the team for what we know will be a very busy stretch for you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Pippa. We appreciate the time.
Marisol Gutierrez, the new communications manager at the Cape of Good Hope SPCA.